Welcome to River of Life. This morning we're going to teach on the armor of light and the importance of being a light to the world. And before I get started, I want to just welcome all our friends and guests today. It's so good to have you in the house of the Lord. God bless you. It's wonderful to be together as the family of God. I notice we've got a lot of people missing this morning, haven't heard from them. One of them had an emergency situation with a dog, but other than that, that's the only person I heard from. But we just want to pray right now for our people, because this is a season where, you know, flu and viruses try to set in. And so we're just going to say a prayer over our group, our congregation, that our immune system is going to be strengthened, right? Do you believe God can do that for us? Father, we thank you, Lord. We lift up every member and every person associated with River of Life. God, we thank you, Lord, for your strengthening of their immune system during this season, Lord. We just thank you, Father, that you supernaturally flush bodies, supernaturally heal bodies. Lord, we just thank you, Father, that your power is greater than any virus coming against us. And Lord, we just thank you for releasing divine health and strength into each one of us, Lord. I thank you, Father, you created us to be a witness, to be a light to the world. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we decree and declare our lights are going to shine bright in this season in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen, amen. Welcome, welcome to River of Life. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Our scripture, our main scripture this morning comes from Matthew 5:16. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. So, thank you, Lord. We know the word's already anointed, right? It's already anointed. Are you ready to receive the word of the Lord? During November, our studies will focus on topics that will help us to continue to move forward in our walk with God. And the title of this series is Forward Momentum, and it comes from our anniversary celebration in August. And Pastor Dave and I will be teaching on that, and Pastor Dave will be in here the next two Sundays, and he's looking forward to being back in the house of the Lord with all of you. And I know he has contacted some of the young men. And if you haven't been contacted, Dave will probably be contacting you to start a men's discipleship group. And so please reply to his text messages when he sends them to you. Can somebody say amen? Amen. For those of you who don't know David Harris, he lives up in Battle Creek, Michigan, and he comes in two Sundays out of the month. He's on our team, and he's an excellent teacher, and I'm looking forward to him just grabbing a hold of all of you that have just recently come into the kingdom of God so you can get established in truth. That's your foundation. Hallelujah. So as I start out this morning, we are going to talk about the armor of light. However, first, I want to talk about some things that Bishop is saying. And Bishop is Dr. Bill Hammond. He is the leader of Christian International, oversees over 5,000 churches. And he is a man of God and a prophet and an apostle to the church. And this is his main scripture in this season for the church. It says this. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. When Bishop was with us the first time he was at the church was, I think it was like 2003, and that was when we were in our building downtown, and this is the word of the Lord that he spoke over us at that time, the scripture. He said, you're the church of Philadelphia, you're the church of love. You haven't denied my name, you're small, but the Lord says, I'm going to open doors for you that no man can shut. And I'm going to shut doors that no man can open. Because you see, when you love God and you serve God, He can do those things. Tell your neighbor, God can do those things. Tell him, God's opening doors for you. And this is what he said as he went on. 2019 to 2022 were years of testing. Was anybody tested between 2019 and 2022? Just wave at me if I'm talking to the right people. It was years of testing. And then he said 2023 to 2024 have been years of transitioning. Now, we're not talking about sexual transitioning to another sex, because often in other countries you use this word transition now, and they've made it related to that. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because the world will take a word and they'll twist its meaning. But when God begins to transition us, He begins to prepare us. This time frame has been many transitions for many people in the things of the Spirit, in your walk with God, in your natural life. Has anybody had a few transitions even in their natural life? Hallelujah. Well, God knows that. God's in the midst of that. It's years of transitioning and preparation. How many feel like they've been in years of preparations the last couple years? God working on our hearts. Yes, waving at me. I appreciate that, because, you know, I need some feedback. Sometimes we get real quiet in this house and you think we're in a Presbyterian church. Hallelujah. It's okay to say amen, hallelujah. That's how I grew up. You just say amen, hallelujah. When the power of God hits you, it's okay. So we have been in preparation. God's been preparing us, teaching us, releasing revelation to us. It's a time of separation. For some of us, we had to separate from old friends. You know, God may have separated you from one job and put you in another, because the job was not feeding you what you needed in this season. God is in charge of all our economics. Hallelujah. So it's been a time of separation. It's been a time of separating from the world. Have you felt God pulling you away from the things of the world? And the old desires you used to have, you just don't want them anymore. Somebody shout hallelujah. I hope that's you. Yes. Praise the Lord. Separate us from the world. Come out from the world and be separate, the scripture says. Yes, we look peculiar. But why do we look peculiar? Because you and I, we're wearing that armor of light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. And then the last thing he said about 23 to 24, it's for God transitioned us, prepared us, separated us for acceleration in 2025 and beyond. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. You can just feel the acceleration of the Holy Spirit. You know, God is on the move. I can just feel that push in the spirit realm. And we don't know what's going to happen Tuesday. All I know is we need to get out and vote. Hallelujah. If you haven't been out to vote, get out there and vote. And vote according to God's law. We're not Democrat. We're not Republican. We vote according to the Word of God and His standards, because He reigns, church. He reigns over everything. And however that election turns out, God is still on His throne. God is still in charge. And I refuse to take part of disunity in any way. You know, so be careful what you post on Facebook. Hallelujah. Oh, you're real quiet. We all have our opinions, and that's okay. But just be careful, because we do not want to stir up disunity. Amen? God hates it. It's on His hate list. There are seven things God hates, and that's one thing He hates is disunity. Hallelujah. And so, you know what? If you have friends that don't agree with you, it's better to talk it out in person. We've been in a situation where there was a disagreement between us and another organization, and we had to sit down and talk it out. You know, you can text, you can email, you can do whatever. But when you sit down face to face and talk it out, it's totally different. It's totally different. Your presence is so important in situations when you're dealing with hard things. Bishop went on and said this. He said, we are in a season of faith activation for faith appropriation. It's a time of reassessment for right positioning as the corporate church. He's talking to the corporate church. He's talking to the church as a whole. He's saying that it is time, our faith is being activated because there are some things we need to appropriate. Hallelujah. It's not by sight, but it is by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And it's a time of reassessment. Are we positioned in the church? I remember this summer I just got before the Lord and said, Lord, what is my position in this season? I've served in a lot of positions, done a lot of things. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you are a stabilizer in the body of Christ. I've called you to stabilize lives in this season. So I know my position. And I thank God for my position. Do you know your position in the body of Christ? If you don't know, come and see me. I'm a stabilizer. I can help you. Our team can help you get to that place where you understand who you are in Christ and what God has called you to do. Because church, it's time to unite as we've never united before, to be one and to be the army and the force in the earth that God has called the corporate church to be. If you come here, you'll find out we're not pew sitters, but you're going to be challenged all the time to get out there and let your light shine. Hallelujah. That's what we're called to do, right? Jesus saved us so we could spread his good word. I want to read just something to you from Bishop's book called God's Weapons of War. And in this chapter, he talks about, can the few affect the many? Oftentimes, people look around and say, well, there's not even enough here to even make a difference. But let's read what Bishop says in his book. We must receive divine revelation from God concerning what works of the enemy we are authorized to go against and destroy. As individuals, for example, you should not try to take on an enemy that requires the power of corporate warfare. But corporately, even when we are small in numbers, we have exponential power to change the atmosphere of cities and nations. Remember that the power produced by each new warrior increases by a power of 10. One can produce 1,000 watts of Holy Spirit light power. Two can produce 10,000, 16 can produce a quintillion, and 100 warriors can produce unlimited power, 1 + 303 zeros. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus declared that he gave us all authority over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. We have authority. So don't let the devil beat you up. Don't let him torment you and just continue to work in your mind. God has given us authority over that. Sometimes you just got to get with more people than yourself to pray, to take authority over that, or maybe to repent in an area. Maybe there's an open door in your life that the enemy's just walking right in. The scripture says, give no place to the devil. Well, maybe you didn't even know it, but you gave him a place. And you know what? He takes that place as quick as he can. If there's a void there, he's going to step right in. Evil will fill up whatever void there is. And that's why it's so important for Christians to stand together as a force in the earth and for one another. He goes on and says, through his death on the cross, through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross and resurrection from the dead, Jesus took all power from the devil and gave all power to his church. He commissioned his church as the corporate body of Christ. Jesus has done and accomplished everything he was supposed to do in his personal body. It is now his greatest pleasure and purpose to finish fulfilling prophetic scriptures through his corporate body until the time comes for him to fulfill the prophetic scripture of his return in his glorified body. So who has all authority? He gave it to us. I remember years ago in prayer one day, Jesus said to me, I was asking him to do something. He said, Janet, I've already done everything I'm going to do. Wouldn't we just love it just to be osmosis and Jesus just does it all while we just worship and enjoy and don't have to get out and do anything? But Jesus gave authority to us over all the power of the enemy. And so in this season, it's important to know what your authority is in Jesus Christ and what weapons he has given you. Has anybody had any trouble this day or this week from the devil? Any tormenting thoughts? Any disruptions? It's like he'll throw these curveballs at you. And it's like, what just hit me? Why is this going on? Everything can just blow up all of a sudden, and you weren't looking for it. But our sermon video this morning asks, what kind of light are you? You know, how well is our light shining? In Matthew 5:15, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The Greek word that is used for light in this scripture is used 70 times in the New Testament. It's pronounced phos, and it means to shine or make manifest, especially by rays. It means luminous and fire. And this word is the base word for the Greek word, it's number 5346, but it means to speak or to say. Okay, it comes from this word to speak or to say, to show or make known one's thoughts, to bring light by asserting one statement or point of view over another, to speak comparatively, making effective contrasts which illuminate, literally produce an epiphany. To have an epiphany. It's like this a moment of revelation and insight. Has anyone here ever had an epiphany? So when your light shines before men and you speak your testimony, you speak the word, there's this epiphany that happens. We can't see it in the natural. And to us, it might seem like why in the world would I even bother to do this? Because, you know, the devil wants to make you think that the word of God is not as powerful as it is. It is powerful. It is quick. It can cut the soul and the spirit. And so the words that God give you, it might not be a Bible scripture exactly, but it is the words we are to speak to that person. All of a sudden, you just know that you need to talk to someone and say something. And so I'm encouraging you. This is how we let our light shine. This particular word is used 58 times in the New Testament, and I just want to take a look at how it's used, because now I think you're going to have a better understanding of what I'm talking about. But this is in Matthew 4, and this is during Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, when the devil took Jesus up into the holy city and set him up on the pinnacle in the temple, and he said, if thou art the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And verse 7 says, Jesus said to him, and this is that word, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Verse 8, and again the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their glory. And he said to him, there's that word said, he spoke to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said, away with you, Satan. You see, Jesus canceled out everything he just said. He said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to Jesus. See how powerful the word of God is? The devil tells you one thing, but when you speak the word of God, it cancels out everything he just said. But we've got to speak it. Tell someone you got to speak it. You got to say it. It's the words of your mouth. With the words of our mouth, we decree and we declare what God's will is, and then we'll see it come to pass. You know, we're a voice. We're a voice. And this last decade was the decade of the pay. It was the decade of the voice. And so it's so important to speak out God's word, to decree and declare the word of God over your life, over our church, over the ministry he's called us to do together, because God's word is powerful. In John 6:63, it says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. All of our life comes from the Lord. Life is from God. He created everything, and it is he that breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. And so it takes the breath of God. It's the breath in our lungs. You know, God breathes in us. Elder Sylvia's had to breathe today. You got to breathe. Recognize what God is doing in our lives. It's his very breath. The scripture goes on and says, for us to have fellowship with one another. It says this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not speak the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light. And the scripture says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's the word of God that directs us. It's important to read the Bible, even if you don't understand it. I always encourage people, read a proverb every day. Whatever day it is, today is November 3rd, read Proverbs 3. If you don't know what to read, read Proverbs 3 and just meditate on those words. It's like that illumination, that revelation, something's going to jump off the page at you, because God's word is alive. This is the only book that you're going to read that's living. It's living. The words actually produce life in people. You know, it's not just any old book. It is alive. God's word is so powerful. And we're going to take a look now at our main text, because we're going to go to Romans 13. And this is teaching us about how to let our light shine. We need to get an understanding from the word of God how our light shines. We might have our own ideas and our own concept of how to do that, but let's see what the word of God says. We're going to go to Romans 13, starting with verse 8. And it says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So if you didn't know better when you start off reading this, you would think that Paul is going to talk to us and give us some advice about how to approach our finances, because he starts off, oh, no man, nothing. But Paul was really using this as a springboard to emphasize the importance of loving one another with God's love. When it comes to giving and receiving love, we're all indebted to the Lord and to one another. So as people of light, we are also first and foremost to love people. And we love people. You know, think about it. You know, someone can say that they love you, but then they turn around and they do something that really hurts you, or they say something that really hurts you. And so all of that has to change when we come into the kingdom of God if we want our light to really shine to someone else. Is that true? You know, words are like arrows that pierce our soul. I'm sure you've had words spoken to you that just like hit you like a dagger. And you need prayer for that. And you've got to take that to the Lord and get some help on that. And you know, often people, they don't even realize that they've done that to you. And so what do? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Because you want to love that person, you know? And sometimes it just might happen once or twice. But if it's consistent, then God wants you to talk to them at some point. You know, we talked a little bit earlier about those are the tough things. You got to sit down face to face and carry on a conversation and say, this really hurt me. I remember doing that with a couple that we needed to talk to. And I'm not going to go into great detail, but even after I shared with them, it really hurt us when they said that. They made up an excuse for why they said that. They didn't even address anything about, well, Janet and Leonard, we're sorry those words hurt you. That's not the way we intended them to be. That wasn't our intention. They justified what they had done instead of taking any responsibility for it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? There comes a time in our life where we have to take responsibility for what is ours. Now, don't take responsibility. If we totally misinterpreted what they said, then they should have shared that. But that's not what they shared. It was just something totally about them. And so it just shows the maturity level of a person when these things happen. And that's how we need to view it. You know, God's maturing all of us, right? He matures us spiritually, but even more than that, he is working on our character. Because God is more concerned about your character than he is about your ministry or anything that you will ever do in the kingdom of God. Bishop always says that if God can make your character, if he can cause you to develop into a good, honest person who loves God, and you're not concerned with all these other things like being famous or, you know, are getting to the top or walking on people because you want that position or you want that. That's not love. That's not love. And that's not good character. Because when you get out in the business world and out in the marketplace and in the office, oh boy, the office, when you're out in the office, that can be a really challenging place to work. But you know, it's like people want to advance and they'll push on you. Well, you know, we have to learn how to stand our ground in love. Stand our ground in love and not let someone walk all over us. And at the same time, That takes training, doesn't it? All of these things take training. We just want God to give it to us, osmosis. Oh, yeah, now you got it. But you know what? God allows you to go through these experiences so that you'll grow and you'll become more like Jesus. Is that the whole goal? Is for us to become more like Christ. So first of all, we need to love people. By the way we act, speak, we need to share our love. And I'm not talking about what the world calls love, because often the world calls lust love. Paul wants us to focus on love that is really sincere, it's genuine, and it comes from the heart that has been transformed by the Lord. It's called agape love. It's called agape love. He wants us to understand that sincere love for God and for our neighbor is the most important thing in the world for our light to shine. My husband's light shines so much, he is always first guy on the task. If a neighbor needs something, he will be over there. Can I help you, neighbor? Half the time, I'll say, hey, what's their name? You know, someone just moves in. What's their name? I don't know. You know, he just went over to help them. He's just letting his light shine. He'll stop and help somebody. Well, who was it? Do we know him? Where are they from? I don't know. They just needed help. So I stopped and helped them. He stopped and helped one mom. Her child's bicycle got a flat tire, and stopped and pumped up that tire. So that child was so happy that they could ride their bike again. Just things like that. You know, that's letting your light shine. It's letting your light shine by being kind, by being generous with your time. So if you love someone, the scripture talks about you're not going to steal from them, right? If you love them, you're going to honor what's theirs. And the other thing is, don't be envious. Don't be envious of people who have nice cars or nice houses or make more money than you. Don't be envious. I've always said, if you're jealous of things that other people have, you can be sure you're never going to have them. You know, when you can rejoice with other people for their promotions, for what they have, then you know what? You're ready to receive your own. God is so good. He wants our light to shine before people. He says not to covet things. Nice clothes. You know, and honestly, some people are just better looking than others. Don't get jealous of the way people look. I remember Deacon Jerome drove a Mercedes, Pastor Vanessa drove a Mercedes, and I drove a Jaguar. I loved my Jag. There were people in the congregation that were so wound up about our cars. The church didn't pay a penny for our cars. And then one couple that went on and on and on turned around and bought an SUV that costs a lot more than my Jaguar. It's just like, don't be crazy like that. Don't be envious. I get excited when somebody has a luxury car. Because someday, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But you know, when it's all said and done, our lives are not made up of what we own. You know, when you're dead and gone, it's not yours anymore. It's just not yours anymore. And so it's great to have nice things if you can afford it to use while you're on this earth, but we can't get attached to what we own. Does that make sense? When we're so attached to that, then our light is not shining. That's more important to us than Jesus. Because in Matthew 6:33-34, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When we seek the Lord first and his righteousness, have righteous living, God will add unto us everything that we need to be successful. He won't leave us without. Do you believe that? Has that been a testimony in your life? Yes, you see there's witnesses all around. This is how God operates in the kingdom of God. And it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We've got enough trouble to deal with every day. to use our energy and our strength on things tomorrow. And often when I counsel people, that's what I share with them. I'll just give you a little counseling session right now. It's when you begin to worry about other things, you use up your emotional, mental energy. It will just drain you, and then you don't have the mental energy to deal with what you need to deal with right now because you're so worried about tomorrow. Okay? So we have got to keep things in proper perspective because God is on the throne. And remember, God is already in your future. Hallelujah. When you get there, God's there. We just got to make it through today and do what he asked us to do today. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to read on about the armor of life. Verse 11 says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." It's time to wake up. It's high time to wake up. It's time to shake yourself out of your sleep. And that's what God is doing. He's shaking a lot of people. He's stirring them up. He's waking them up. And why? Because salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Paul says, cast off the works of darkness. Paul did a lot of teaching to the Gentiles. He went from city to city teaching the Gentiles. And he probably began to see a pattern of what happens at night. You know, when it becomes night, there's a lot of stuff that begins to happen that normally doesn't happen during the day. Now, over the last few years, we've seen it leaking into the day. You know, we've seen that darkness trying to leak into the day. But at night, you know, that's when the party starts. You know, that's when a lot of times people put down their guard and they'll do things they normally wouldn't do because it's party night. You know, it's like, let's just have a good time and let it all go. That is not the kingdom of God. That is being in the darkness. It is not being in the light. And so to be people of light, to let our light shine, we need to not live a lifestyle that's reflectant of that. Because you can make a lot of decisions, connect with people that later on you regret. You got real quiet in here. I think Jesus is talking to us this morning. But you see, Paul had this passion to share the gospel, and he went from place to place. And so he noticed these behaviors, and he's talking to us that we've got to put that off. And put on the armor of life. He's given us some practical advice. He says, cast off the works of darkness. Okay, so we've got to throw that stuff away from us. It's like, all right, if something tempts me or I have a thought I shouldn't have, I'll say, that is not who I am. That is not who God called me to be. And I refuse to think about that. Go in Jesus' name. You got to dismiss it right away. Got to get rid of it right away because otherwise it will try to take root in your mind. And the longer you think and meditate on those things, the harder it is to jerk them out, okay? But they've got to be cast off. You got to jerk those things out of there and ask the Lord, give me what you want me to think about, Lord. Lord, sometimes you can get foggy-minded. Has anybody ever been foggy-minded? Just foggy-minded? It was interesting. This last week, I had a friend that was traveling, and She was in an airport in a foreign country, missed her flight, totally missed her gate. She said she had just gotten so foggy-minded, and she had her ticket. She was sitting at the gate, but she'd written down the wrong time that her flight was coming in. So foggy-minded. And so, you know, we were texting back and forth. Thank God for iPhones, because we can just text no matter what country you're in. And she said the airline wouldn't help her because it was her fault. It wasn't their fault. It was her fault. So she's in a foreign country, doesn't speak the language, in the airport, and they told her, go find a hotel. So, you know, we prayed, and I said, I don't feel good about you going out in the street. And it was dark there, and she didn't know where in the world she was going, doesn't speak the language. So anyway, long story short, she decided to sleep in the airport all night, which, of course, is miserable, all alone. But God did send her someone that she didn't understand what she spoke, but they could use their phones to translate. So they had conversations until the place that she felt comfortable enough to rest. But they gave her another flight 24 hours later. So 24 hours later, very foggy-minded again, almost missed her flight again. And then she got home and got deathly sick. Okay, now listen to this. She began then to unpack her bags. And she was in a place, in an airport, that she had bought something. And the woman said, oh, I'm going to give you this free gift. I'm just going to drop it right in your bag right here. And she said, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Not thinking anything about it. Well, it was a cursed object. It was a cursed object that they had put in her bag. And there are objects that people from other religions will curse to get you to take. You don't know there's a curse on it. She was already tired, but she said, from that moment on, I started getting foggy-minded, and everything began to go wrong. And when she discovered that, then of course we prayed, broke the curse that was spoken over her, and the curse that had come upon her in the mighty name of Jesus broke its power, and God set her free. I'm telling you, free. Free. Thank you, Lord. And so for those of you who don't believe these things, they happen. They happen. The powers of darkness come against the children of light. And this is why the scripture says that we have to be alert, we have to be aware, because the devil, who like a roaring lion, he's walking around seeking whom he may devour. He will devour you. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care if you're ignorant. He doesn't care if you just act, you know, said, oh, sure, thank you so much. That was like coming into agreement with everything that was cursed on that object. The powers of darkness are real. We read about Jesus being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. The scripture says he picked Jesus up and moved him. We've got to recognize the God of this world has power. But at the same time, no, God has already sent his son to defeat him, and he defeated him on the cross. But that does not mean that he's not going to try to slip something into your life. And that's why we need each other. That's why we need the church. That's why we need to understand the maneuvering of the devil and how he works against us. When you love Jesus, you can be sure the devil hates you. And that's why the scripture warns us, give him no place. Give him no place. Put on that armor of light. And I just want to share something with you from the armor of light, from Bishop's book. Because Bishop had an experience about this armor of light. This armor, that word that's used there, it refers to some type of military instrument. It can mean a soldier's shield as well as some type of body armor. It's used to refer to a weapon that has both defensive and offensive capabilities. And so when the soldiers would go into battle, they would be protected. They would know that their core was protected, and they would use the armor as a way to both defensively and offensively. But Jesus, even though I was talking about the powers of Satan, even though he was defeated at the cross, it doesn't mean he's been forever removed. And even though we're born again, it doesn't mean that the battle for our souls is over. As long as we're in this body and on this side of heaven, as long as we're here, there is a battle against the powers of evil and our flesh. And so we have to be both defensively and offensively minded, watching for anything that the devil would try to slip in on us. So I'm going to go back and read to you from Bishop's book. It's on page 60, and then we'll close after I read this. It was so interesting. And those of you that took this class, Bishop talked about putting on the armor of light. And he was at a meeting with Mahesh Shabda. And Mahesh Shabda, a lot of supernatural things often happen in his and Bonnie's services. Just a lot of different things. But anyway, I wanted to share with you what Bishop talked about. Him and Mahesh were sitting on the floor ministering to each other because people were going out all over the building because the power of God was so strong. And Bishop said they went out, both of them just fell out for like 30 minutes on the floor. And he said, during the 30 minutes that followed, God gave me a major vision with three different scenes and themes, one of which relates to what we are now discussing. In the vision, a great object like a blimp came and hovered just over my head, and the Lord instructed me to use my hands to make an opening in its hull. I reached up and made an opening about 2 feet long and a foot wide, and he instructed me to stretch my hand up into the opening, and when I did, a liquid gel began to flow down, covering every inch of my body. When it finished, I had a clear substance about an inch thick covering my entire body, and God instructed me to reach up and to make the opening bigger, and this time a brilliant light with heat began to penetrate the covering of my body. It made the gel-like substance hard and clearer than crystal, and it began to glow with the brightness of the sun. And the Lord told me the substance was his gold from the New Jerusalem, clear as crystal, representing the robe of righteousness that he had clothed me with. The brilliance of the covering was my armor of light. Though the covering was harder than steel, it was still flexible and did not hinder my ability to use any of my senses. I could see, breathe, and talk freely. Jesus said, I am preparing you for the dangerous ministry that I have destined you to fulfill for my church and kingdom. This pure gold, righteous covering will protect you from all the weapons that Satan will seek to use against you. He knows you are a general in my army and that you will help me raise up a godly army and that will defeat his evil kingdom and destroy his reign here on earth. Your armor of light can penetrate the darkest horrors of hell and scatter them as light scatters darkness. You will never be defeated as long as you walk in my light and life and keep your light bright by keeping your battery fully charged by praying in the Holy Ghost. It is a strategic time for us to put on the armor of light. And the way we put on the armor of light is we ask the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I want your armor. I need your armor of light today. Your armor of light is your word. The armor of light is Jesus himself. It's the very presence of Jesus in your life. Lord, I want your presence in my home. I want your light in my home. I want your light in my life. I want your light to shine on my children. Shine on my heart, Lord. If there's any sin in me, Lord, I repent of that sin. Forgive me for my sins, oh God. This is how we do it. We just get desperate before the Lord. Lord, you said I have an armor of light. I need it today. I'm going out to my job and there are people that hate me. There are people that are coming against me. You know, people are losing their job. Lord, you know I need my job. Lord, you know I need my job. Lord, you said you'd supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. Lord, you said that if I work, you know, you would bless me when I work, because when I work, you give me money to establish ties, to establish the kingdom of God. God makes you rich. Why? To fulfill his purpose in your life. It's not so that you can buy a bunch of stuff. It's not so that you can say, oh, hey, I make six figures. No, that's not why God does it. God sends you money and finances and increase because he's called you to share in the kingdom of God. You know, you let your light shine when you share with others. Hallelujah. You let your light shine when you do God's will. And it's not a mystery. God will talk to us. Let's just put our hands on our ears. Father, I thank you that you're opening ears today, Lord, to hear your voice. Your scripture says, my sheep hear my voice. Lord, we are your sheep and we are crying out this morning. We want to hear your voice every day. Lord, we want to walk in the light. We want to walk in truth. So Lord, open our ears to hear. And let's put our hands on our eyes. Father, I thank you. I decree and declare right now, supernaturally, Lord, you're opening our eyes, Lord. You're illuminating our eyes, Lord. You are causing us to see into the unseen. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you open our eyes to see so that we will understand, oh God, and know what you are doing. I decree and declare that even what the enemy's doing, Father, you're opening our eyes, Lord, to see what traps are being set around us, oh God. And Lord, you are causing us, Lord God, to come up with a plan and a strategy, Lord, to defeat every fiery dart, every act of the enemy. Let's put it on our head. Father, we thank you for this helmet of salvation, Lord God, that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, that you protect our minds, Lord, that you guard our minds, you guard our heart, Lord, like a Roman soldier would guard with his gun and his infantry, Lord. We just thank you, Father. You're guarding our minds, Lord, with this helmet of salvation. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you're breaking the power even of ADHD off of your people, Lord God, that we can stay focused upon you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, any mind-controlling spirits this morning. We break your power now by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you are setting us free, Lord God, setting us free from the opinions of people, Lord, setting us free, Lord, from the recording that keeps playing in our minds, oh God, so that we will hear your voice, that we will know your truth, Lord, that you will show us the way to go, and Lord, that we will choose to follow you above all else. And we thank you for your freedom this morning, and somebody shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Put on the armor of light. It's just like we put on the armor of God. Every piece of armor represents the presence of Jesus Christ in our life. We have got to wear Jesus. We are wearing him. He is our clothing. He is our spiritual clothes. Because you know what? When the devil sees you coming, he just sees Jesus. He just sees Jesus. He doesn't see you. He doesn't see you, but he sees Jesus, because you got on Jesus' clothes, because God has clothed us from head to toe with the armor of God and the armor of light. And whenever the light comes into darkness, then that darkness has to go. It doesn't stand a chance. Hallelujah. The weapons God has given us will defeat the enemy every time. He's already destroyed, and that's the focus we have got to have. We are not backing down. God didn't call the church to back down. God called the church to go forward. He called the church to be the light. He called the church to be the ruling force in the earth. He called the church to be the ecclesia. He called the church to come forward in this season. And I thank God that there is a shift in the atmosphere. I thank God that His fresh wind is blowing upon all of us. I thank God that He's moving us forward. I thank God for the momentum. And I thank God for each one of you. You are a mighty, mighty warrior. You are a mighty, mighty warrior. You may not see yourself as that at this point, but that's who God says you are. And if you say, yes, Lord, then He will cause you to grow. He will cause you to grow up in the things of God, and He will do a work in you. Come on. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I done preached myself happy this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing this morning. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, for the word that's gone forward. Lord, that is quick, it's powerful.
Yes.
You're changing some things. He's shifting some things. He's readjusting some things in our lives. And so you'll understand it. Just receive it. You'll understand it as the week plays out, as the month plays out. You're going to understand it. If you don't understand it right now, keep telling the Lord, I want to understand this stuff because this is life. This is power. This is you, Jesus, and I need you, Jesus, in my life. Hallelujah.